She was too busy trying to remember how many plates there were in Teresa's willow-pattern tea set. And when the Maoris in the organ gallery broke into glorious song, Maggie's head was spinning in a daze of ultramarine blue, far removed from Catholicism or Polynesia. The school year was drawing to a close, December and her birthday just beginning to threaten full summer, when Maggie learned how dearly one could buy the desire of one's heart. She was sitting on a high stool near the stove while Fee did her hair as usual for school. It was an intricate business. Maggie's hair had a natural tendency to curl, which her mother considered to be a great piece of good luck. Girls with straight hair had a hard time of it when they grew up and tried to produce glorious wavy masses out of limp thin strands. At night, Maggie slept with her almost knee-length locks twisted painfully around bits of old white sheet torn into long strips, and each morning she had to clamber up on the stool while Fee undid the rags and brushed her curls in. Fee used an old Mason Pearson hairbrush, taking one long, scraggly curl in her left hand and expertly brushing the hair around her index finger until the entire length of it was rolled into a shining, thick sausage. Then she carefully withdrew her finger from the center of the roll and shook it out into a long, enviably thick curl. This maneuver was repeated some 12 times. The front curls were then drawn together on Maggie's crown with a freshly ironed white taffeta bow, and she was ready for the day. All the other little girls wore braids to school, saving curls for special occasions, but on this one point Fee was adamant. Maggie should have curls all the time, no matter how hard it was to spare the minutes each morning. Had Fee realized it, her charity was misguided, for her daughter's hair was far and away the most beautiful in the entire school. To rub the fact in with daily curls earned Maggie much envy and loathing. The process hurt, but Maggie was too used to it to notice, never remembering a time when it had not been done. Fee's muscular arm yanked the brush ruthlessly through knots and tangles until Maggie's eyes watered and she had to hang onto the stool with both hands to keep from falling off. It was the Monday of the last week at school, and her birthday was only 2 days away. She clung to the stool and dreamed about the willow-pattern tea set, knowing it for a dream. There was one in the Wahine General Store, and she knew enough of prices to realize that its cost put it far beyond her father's slender means.